The Batwa people, once known as Pygmies, are one of the oldest surviving indigenous tribes in Africa. Their traditional lands, forests high in the mountains, straddle several East African countries. But the Batwa are now also called conservation refugees, as governments scramble to cope with the pressures of population growth and climate change. Special correspondent Freda Sam Lazaro has this report from Western Uganda.
Every morning, these Batwa men offer tourists a glimpse of the hunter-gatherer lifestyle they remember from their childhoods. Starting fires, hunting, harvesting traditional medicinal plants in the forest. The forest here is also the last remaining habitat of the fabled mountain gorilla. Habitat that's been steadily lost to human encroachment in recent decades. The Batwa lived alongside gorillas since the beginning of time, these men say, but today they are some of the last survivors with any memory of it.
In 1991, the government of Uganda reclassified lands the Batwa had lived on for millennia as national parks. That decision pitted the interests of a largely invisible people against those of an animal that had become a global icon for environmental conservation.
60-year-old Stephen Saratoke still remembers what the Batwa call the eviction like it was yesterday.
They would point the guns like this.
Our guide, Boaz Mumuza, of the Uganda Wildlife Authority, translated.
Sometimes they could scare them by shooting up in air.
Today, an estimated 6,000 Ugandan Batwa live on the periphery of the forest, pushed higher and higher up the mountainside, or in slums in nearby towns. They are among the poorest inhabitants of one of the world's poorest countries, laboring on nearby farms or performing for tourists when they can. Those who do receive a portion of the park entry fees. No tourists mean no pay, and during the pandemic, it's often been that way. On this day, it was just me with my team. Cut off from the forest and traditional medicines, their numbers have declined. 4 in 10 children don't survive to age 5, and average life expectancy for the Batwa is 28 years. 28.
Malnutrition, and then pneumonia, then respiratory tract infections. And then the most challenging now is HIV and AIDS.
Dr. David Bakunzi says the Batwa face widespread discrimination in larger Ugandan society in general and in seeking services like health care. So his church-based group brings basic medical care to slum settlements like this one, where he gave me a tour. We talked to the baby's grandmother, Justina Nyerkundi. Each day, she goes to the nearby town looking for farm or domestic work, usually in exchange for food. When that doesn't work out, she's left to beg for it, as she had for this porridge she'd given an older grandchild.
She said yesterday she went to somewhere where they had a party, so they gave her this and she brought it.
She went to some richer person's house,
yeah,
where there was a party,
mm-hmm,
and so these are leftovers.
Yeah.
The day we visited, she'd had no luck.
She has not gotten work. They have to sleep for an empty stomach.
Sleeping in cramped quarters wide open to the elements.
It's probably 8 feet by 4 feet.
Yeah, something like that.
For a family of 5 to sleep in.
Mm-hmm. It's really very challenging.
That's one word for it.
Even the rare bright spots, like a healthy baby girl amid so much suffering and high infant mortality, even these small victories can be short-lived, he says.
There is a risk of her getting HIV as soon as she's 10, 11, because they have lost hope.
Dr. Bakunzi says many young women are forced into sex work to survive. He has 16 HIV patients in this slum community of about 90 families, a community that endures much more.
Drug abuse.
Is there a big problem with alcoholism?
Yes, there is, because they don't have what to do anyway.
especially men. I say I have to drink and forget my problems.
His organization, affiliated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is working to train Batwa to farm, to help them become more self-sufficient.
This becomes a starting point, and at a later time, we will be providing also vegetables, then beans and soya bean. They do well here.
His group rents this land for the Batwa, land that was once thickly forested, where their ancestors lived until a few decades ago. The irony is not lost on Brian Atuhiri Batenda with the African Initiative on Food Security and Environment.
Projects such as those are very important, but whose land was it? I am not saying there's nothing being done. I'm only saying that all those things are relief-based.
Relief-based help instead of real development.
Yes.
Real development must begin with education to overcome decades of neglect, says 33-year-old Alice Nyamihanda. In 2010, she became the first member of the Batwa tribe to earn a university degree, thanks to sponsorships from aid organizations.
My people are suffering. That's why I wanted to be an example to my people.
She took us to visit her people in a mountainside village. Here, children are miles from any school, she says. Even minimal fees and the required uniforms are out of reach. Barely 10% of Batwa children are enrolled in school, she says. Advocates have taken their case to Uganda's courts, which have ruled that the Batwa are entitled to compensation for the loss of their land. However, few people we talk to are sure that relief will come anytime soon or what shape it might take. One big problem, because of their small numbers and discrimination, the Batwa have little political power, says Alice Nyamihanda.
We need representatives to represent the Batwa at national level, even at all levels. Even at the village level, we don't have someone.
We were evicted from the forest, they sing, and now they are home to the mountain gorillas. And unlike these conservation refugees, the gorilla population has grown from 400 to about 460. But the Batwa see very little of the tens of millions of dollars Uganda earns from tourism revenue. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Fred DeSam-Lazaro, near the Mugahinda Gorilla National Park in Uganda.
Difficult story, so glad that we can tell it. And Fred's reporting, as we always remind you, is in partnership with the Undertold Stories Project at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota.